Well, noted UFO investigator Kevin Randall has a new work out called Crash, When UFOs Fall from the Sky. It's an incredible work, tremendous research, and he will be our guest on our next Coast to Coast show. And, of course, we'll come back with your phone calls and Barbara Hand Clow on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Barbara, how do we tune ourselves up for these dimensions?
How do we tune ourselves up?
Yeah, how do we get into them?
First of all, when we do activations, we're working with music that was composed by Michael Stearns, because one of the things I find with higher dimensions, like 6, 7, 8, and 9, is they have such a high frequency that it's almost impossible to express it any other way except with music. It's kind of like, you know how when you feel when you listen to an incredible Beethoven symphony or something,
sure,
like that, you're just getting up to these levels. So a lot of people work with the CD and meditate with the CD. That's the most normal way of working with the dimensions. And then we also do things like play with crystal bowls and ring chimes and stuff like that. But what does happen, whether you do it for a minute or 10 minutes, however much time you take, is the minute you tune your consciousness into one of those dimensions, if you understand what that dimension is, like the Aaron Core crystal, then what happens is that dimension is actually very connected to you, and it just opens.
Okay, let's go to final calls here. Olympia, Washington, we go. Greg, you are on Coast to Coast.
Hi. I had a crazy idea. I was wondering if you could bat it around between the both of you.
All right.
What if the Bilderbergers that you talked about, the industrial business complex, used religion as a rallying point, as so many other groups have done down through the ages? And what if they use these chips that they're trying to put into people to track them and tell them that if they wanted food and clothes and a shelter over their head, they had to work for the complex, the industrial business complex, or they'd be out of the loop. And I was wondering if the last great war, if your guest could see, could comment on this, the last great war would be against the industrial complex and people who have a higher consciousness. I'll take my answer off the air. They talk about Babylon in the Bible and a 666 mark of the beast, 666. So I was wondering if you could comment on that.
All right, let's give it a try, Barbara.
I thought that was for you, George, but I'll give it a try. This is a great example of all of the information that's in the fourth dimension. And the way this gentleman spoke about it, is what's happening is it's all rattling around in everybody's heads, actually. You know, Babylon and the last war and all of that kind of stuff. And that's exactly why so many of us are involved in a collective movement to understand and decode these kind of realities that are affecting us. And that's what the whole new consciousness movement is about, really, is it's based on the idea that if you do consider and study some of these issues, you don't become a victim of this information anymore. You start to understand the energy behind this kind of information, and that's helpful at all. That's why the fourth dimension is so rich. And in this revision of alchemy, the only other chapter that I rewrote besides 9 is I also rewrote the fourth dimension, chapter 4. And for the first time for me, after 15 years of working with this information, for me now the fourth dimension has really clarified. And people can get there. You can get to the point where you can really see exactly what's going on and how people are influencing things.
And don't you think if people just start living, you know, decently in terms of caring about other people, that they immediately uplift themselves?
Yes, and this is the issue of the open heart, and the easy, not so much the easiest, but the most available solution to being stuck in these kinds of thought forms and mindsets is just to go right into the heart and to relate directly to the people that we love and to start sorting out. Like Babylon doesn't have an awful lot to do with my life, if you know what I mean, but my daughter does. And I think I think the fourth dimension is fine, the contemplation of all of these issues, but I think we need to watch really carefully as to whether we're really present in what I call the now.
Okay, let's go to Centralia, Missouri, population 3,800, and here's one of them. Karen is there. Hi, Karen.
Hi, George. Been listening to you for several years now.
Well, thank you.
I would like to comment that your bumper music tonight is just absolutely awesome for the program subject.
Super.
One thing that I would like for her to comment on is how she mentioned that the things that she's being downloaded with fits in with the Bible. And also, everybody's worried about this food thing. Where are we going to find our food? You know, how are we going to buy if we've got to take this 666, however it's imprinted on us? I think everybody's forgetting about how God fed the Israelites for 40 years. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
I would still store it just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think that we all kind of need to let go of trying to depend on ourselves. And with this, what she's talking about, the heart thing and showing more love to one another, that in turn, you know, he sees us, he feels us doing this, and then he'll take care of it from that point on.
What about those, though, that don't do it?
Well, there's the sorting work being done, you know, and I let him worry about the ones that don't do it.
Now, let me ask you that, Barbara. Is anybody going to really step in and save us, or do we have to do this ourselves?
Well, I don't think that anybody, like that's the sense of a person, is going to step in and save us. But I do think that we're moving toward a collective awakening of our species. And I know that sounds very vague, but I really believe that we're just moving to an entirely new level. And I think that human love is going to be the very center. For example, regarding the Bible, I think the level that we're moving to has a lot to do with what I like to call Christ consciousness. But how I would define that and how other people would define that might be considerably different. Like in my universe, I do think that a very profound level of love came to this planet 2,000 years ago that I think has been growing ever since then. And I think that at this time, I think that these levels are opening up. And I just think it's very, very confusing for people because everybody's got a different belief system and a different take on it. Like for me, the way Carl Kalman expresses it in The Purposeful Universe, which is a very much a divinely inspired idea, isn't the same as how somebody's going to look at it who comes from one of the major religions.
Okay, now it's Tanya's turn in Windsor, Ontario, in Canada, east of the Rockies. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning. First off, I'll say all these things fairly quickly. You're great for the show. You've done great on Coast to Coast. It's a pleasure to call while you're on.
Thank you, Tanya.
And also to George, and also thank you, Barbara, for being on the show. I appreciate that. Now, I think people should stop thinking that this is the end of the world that's coming, because if our thoughts feed the universe, then that'll feed it. So people need to think that this is a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'd like to ask you, Barbara, how do we harness the power within ourselves? How do we bring out the gifts we have, and how do we influence love and positive energy onto other people?
We just do it. And I think that this is, first of all, what life is about itself and our families and our personal reality and community experience. But it's also about the awakening of our times. And it's so confusing because we're in the middle of such a dark phase of this that it seems like all of these values are being destroyed right now. I don't think so. I think these values are being strengthened.
Okay. And with that, I thank you very much. I thank your producer, and have a great week. Thank you.
Okay. That's very kind of you, indeed. What about biblical prophecy? How does it turn into what you have here, specifically the book of Revelation?
Mm-hmm.
Do you echo any of that, Barbara?
I hope not.
No.
And the reason I say that is because, again, the book of Revelations, and I do have a master's in theology, so I'm fairly knowledgeable about religion. And a huge, if not all, of these books and Book of Revelation and sources are coming from a very fourth-dimensional polarized level, very much dark and light. And what I teach is how to move that consciousness out of that fourth-dimensional level and up to that higher level of consciousness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chicago, Illinois now. It's Jim's turn on the wild card line. Hi, Jim.
Hey, George.
Good to have you with us.
I have a question for Barbara, but first, can I make a real quick plea? Being here in Chicago, it's WLS. We don't get to last 2 hours, so I'd like to ask your listeners to flood WLS Radio 890 with emails so I get that back.
We are working it.
Oh, great. Barbara.
Yes.
My question would be, do you see any connection whatsoever with the end of the Mayan calendar and a global appearance of UFOs? And I'm not talking about holograms. I mean the real deal.
Yeah. I did discuss that in the Mayan code in relationship to exopolitics. And people who have adopted exopolitics believe that the end of the Mayan calendar describes the lifting of the quarantine. And so that's one level. For me, I'm actually in touch with some pretty extraterrestrial levels of consciousness, especially the Pleiadians, for example. But for me, the issue doesn't have that much to do with spaceships and squadrons of ships. It has much, much more to do with consciousness. And I think that I think maybe there will be spaceships. It's possible from a technological point of view. But I think that we need to open up I think that we have extraterrestrial consciousness right within our own consciousness. For example, in the Pleiadian agenda, the sixth dimension is kept by the Sirians. These are beings from the Sirius star system. And if you get into Egyptology, you will find the exact same description of the Sirians and how they influence human consciousness. So when we go back into some of the ancient religions, we find that they did have a much greater contact with these various star systems and the consciousness of these star systems. And so what's really unique about Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, because Alchemy of Nine Dimensions is really very much like a lot of other spiritual dimensional systems, but what's unique about it is that it has this cosmic level of communication, which is what I think is coming now. And it may or may not be spaceships.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It could come in different forms.
I don't have to take a spaceship to the Pleiades to be in touch with them.
Let's go to Sue in Hawaii, west of the Rockies. Sue, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for a fascinating conversation tonight.
Sure thing.
I'd like to address decoding some of the terms you've used. You talked some about decoding things, and one of them would be terming these people who are simply money and power brokers, the elite. That gives them a kind of dignity, and I would like to just call them money and power brokers, that money becomes irrelevant to them. They don't even know what it means anymore. They certainly don't know its effect on everyday people and the devastation, for instance, the financial crisis has caused. And the same is true with dignifying terrorists with that name. Call them what they are, murderers and criminals, and stop giving them a kind of cloak of dignity. We don't know if they're terrorists. We don't know who they are. Maybe they're just people who like to kill.
They could be. By the way, tomorrow, Daniel Estulin will be giving us an update on the Bilderberg group, which will be meeting very shortly this week. And she's right there, Barbara.
To me, since I don't know what that is,
we're going to teach you. It's the group. It's what you talk about in the Dimension 4.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they meet every year right around June or July, and they basically all get together. They're very powerful people in politics and finance and industry, and they basically set policy for the next year, and then they try to put their plans into place.
What made them so greedy? What made them so evil?
You know, George, this is a mystery to me. One of the things that amazes me the most is the human capacity for greed. Because once somebody has a certain amount and has enough, you wouldn't think that it would make any difference anymore. But the greed comes in and just becomes an obsession. And this is where I think the major religions have some pretty good teachings. These are the seven deadly sins, you know, and one of them is greed. And the way I grew up, not through indigenous teaching, but I also had some Christian background. And I took those deadly sins seriously and figured that I didn't want to have any of those, you know? I mean, we have to work on these things. This is an issue of identifying character. And I think that people are going to drown in their greed.
I think so, too.
Especially at this time.
But at this point, they don't care, do they?
No, they don't care. Let's not kid ourselves about that.
I mean, I believe they're in underground bunkers.
I also think they know all about the calendar, by the way.
Tell me about that.
Oh, I think they, I think one of the reasons we're in the middle of such a great struggle right now is they know that the vast populace of the planet is raising its consciousness. And basically, they've been doing everything they could, especially during the Galactic Underworld, 1999 plus.
I don't think they like the fact that people are beginning to become aware of what they're doing.
They absolutely don't. Because they can't function anymore without that cloak of secrecy.
Time and time again, I will go to an event. Yeah. Just came back from one in Pasadena. People are aware of what is going on.
That's right.
They're smart, they're sharp, and, you know, they're getting to the point where, you know, they're going to fight back.
Yeah. I agree.
One way or another. Tell me a little bit about where we get the Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. Amazon.com, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. Amazon.com and everywhere, bookstores, it's all over the place.
And, of course, you have written how many, 11 books?
12.
12 books.
Yeah.
Including, of course, the Mayan Code.
Mm-hmm.
The Mind Chronicles, the Pleiadian Agenda. Do you have a favorite?
What is my favorite? You know what? I love the Mind Chronicles. That's my book on past life regression under hypnosis.
Right. That's when we talked a lot about it.
Yeah,
I
time traveled over 100,000 years of human consciousness, and I love that book.
Next up, let's grab another call. Elk in North Carolina. Glenda, you'll be the last call of this segment. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Linda.
I'm confused. I'm not sure how you feel about Christianity, but I know you talk about Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let you know, everyone know, that Christianity is on the brink of something new that's never been seen before. There are miracles taking place. People are having visions, seeing angels.
It's a dramatic turnaround, isn't it?
It is amazing. I don't know if you know Sid Roth. He's got a show called It's Supernatural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he has prophets and healers, and many, many prophets and healers are at work today in Christianity.
Yeah, and I just want you to know I don't have anything against Christianity. I've got issues with some of the structures of Christianity.
Some of the so-called organized structures.
The organized structures of Christianity, and I especially have difficulty with what Christianity has done with the real story of Jesus, because I think the real story of Jesus is a beautiful story, and many of our sleuthers, I'd like to call the people who are breaking the secrets, the sleuthers, and a lot of the biblical scholars have been really breaking into the real story of Jesus' early life and his relationship with his brothers and sisters, and all those, there's just a million things that I could say about that. And so we're in the middle of an awakening. In other words, what I'm saying is the real story of Jesus was basically covered up in about 300 A.D., and it's been hidden until now. And so we're alive during a period in history when the real story of this consciousness, these miracles, is coming forth.
Barbara, we will come back and take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, as I mentioned, Kevin Randall will join us as we'll talk about his latest research into crash UFO cases. It's an incredible story that we'll have for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come right back, let's take final phone calls with Barbara Hand Clow on Coast to Coast AM. Barbara, if we only stick at these four levels of dimensions and we don't go beyond that, what happens?
Well, the fourth dimension, as I mentioned, is like a canopy or a tent over our bodies in terms of this polarized field of dark and light. And so the upper dimensions, the fifth through the ninth dimension, need to come through that canopy in order to reach our consciousness. And so, for example, if those dimensions can't get through the fourth dimension and can't reach our consciousness in our bodies, then, for example, you don't really have access, for example, to the divine awareness, or you don't have access to the geometrical forms that actually replicate in this dimension. And it may seem, you could say, like, well, who cares? But, you know, think of nature and think of sunflowers and think of seashells and think of all the incredible beauty that we have in our dimension, which is all a reflection of the six-dimensional geometrical zones. And so for me, contemplation of beauty has a lot to do with being in touch with these dimensions.
Okay, let's go to Vancouver now in Canada. Hey, Gerald, thank you for holding. Go ahead, Gerald.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, George. Barbara, writers like Greg Braden, Bob Frisell, and I think even Barbara Marciniak, they all seem to suggest that 2012 will be a radical mass ascension into a higher octave that some call Christ consciousness, and it'd be an event without precedent. Do you see this or something less abrupt, something more gradual?
Well, see, this is where I'm just such an Indian at heart, and also Celtic. I'm a mixture. And, boy, I really like being in my body. So I find myself, when I start to hear words like ascension, the kind of consciousness that I'm talking about is a little bit different. It's more like having all of those levels of high consciousness, such as ascension levels, but having those levels right in us, right in our bodies now. And so I just kind of look at it a little bit differently. You see that subtle difference? I'm not trying to get out of here. I'm trying to be here with full awareness.
So it's bringing it down to earth as opposed to the group moving up?
Yes. Yes, and I think our planet is a paradise, and I think that when we get through the purification of the fourth dimensional dark and light forces, I think we're going to return to that feeling of at one-ment with our planet.
How long in the future do you think that would take?
I think there's going to be such an incredible shift on these levels during 2011 and 2012 that I think it's impossible to see beyond. It's interesting, a lot of psychics for years and years, I watched this over a period of about 40 years, would say that they couldn't see beyond this moment. And I've had the same issue. I just can't see beyond 2012.
You do believe, though, that good will outdo evil, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's good. There's some who don't think that will happen.
Yes, I know, of course.
Elizabeth in Phoenix, Arizona. West of the Rockies. Hey, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Elizabeth.
George, you must be psychic. I have been hoping for months that you would have Barbara on. I've been really wondering, Barbara, I read your book, The Heart of the Christos, and the section, the chapter called A Message from the Pleiades really got me. And I wondered if, for those who haven't read it, if you could maybe touch on some of the points in there about how the Pleiadians can't come to the planet Earth if there's a lot of toxicity, and the way they have been communicating with the scientists, so they can't do the things that they're trying to do. And also the comment you made about the military, I don't know if you remember that or not.
Let's go for the Pleiades for just a second.
And yeah.
Heart of the Christos. The way that I see it is that, as far as we can tell with archaeology and paleontologists, and as far as we know, human beings have shown signs of being in contact with the Pleiades during the regional cycle. That's the 100,000-year cycle. So as soon as we became more conscious as a species, we show a direct contact with the Pleiades. And it's a great mystery, but I think the Pleiadian consciousness is very involved with us in our sphere. And then as far as Heart of the Christos is concerned, it ended up being, this is now turned into one book called The Mind Chronicles Trilogy, in case you don't know it. What happened was, it was really fun. I rewrote a book that I had written 25 years ago, and just it took it to a very, very nifty literary level. But the message from the Pleiades, all of the material that was in the old books is still there, but what's happened is become much more literary.
Okay, well, I have to look that up. Yeah, no, I was really taken by that. You made a comment that quote, the secret covens of the military are far more evil than most people realize, unquote. And that just affirms something I've always felt. I also read somewhere that in Native American culture that the oil is considered the earth's blood.
What are you saying? They consider the earth to be blood?
No, oil is the earth.
Yes,
blood.
That's what I said earlier.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't mention that. But for me, what's happening is the mother is bleeding now.
Yes, blood.
Yeah, that's why we feel this.
Hemorrhaging, actually.
Hemorrhaging, that's right. And this is why we feel this so strongly. And I think it probably took it going to that level to get people to wake up again.
I want to add, just throw in one more comment, if I may. The very end of Nostradamus' book, his predictions, and I had a book that had, like, the French on one side of the page and the English translation on the other. The very last thing Nostradamus said was that he said, no matter what I prophesize, he said, the future is unknown and uncertain and changes moment to depending on people's consciousness. So I think the important thing is to realize that, you know.
That's right. That's right. And that with these amazing eclipses that are coming up with these grand squares, I see how they're going to pull our consciousness of each individual just to an entirely different level, and then all of a sudden the future shifts at that point.
Barbara, what do you mean by the alchemy of nine dimensions? We didn't talk much about the alchemy part.
Right. Well, alchemy traditionally is transmuting lead into gold, as we know, back in the medieval period. And the idea of alchemy of nine dimensions would be a similar thing, but regarding our consciousness. And so the idea would be that when we achieve the activation of nine dimensions of consciousness, then we have achieved an alchemical transmutation. And to speak to that personally, since I've been lucky enough to teach this for 15 years with my partner and my husband, what's happened for me, because I teach it all the time, is I've actually done it. And what happens for me is the level of information that I can access is just remarkable. It's the only thing that explains how I'm able to do what I'm doing at this point.
Has it ever been frustrating for you knowing what you know sometimes?
Sure. Totally.
I would think, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Tulsa, Oklahoma, we go. Williams east of the Rockies and on coast to coast. Hey, William.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Okay.
Hey, Barbara.
Hi,
I think I figured out 111 and 1111, like you always see on digital clocks.
Oh, yeah.
I think, and something told me to tell the Coast audience, and I also have a question. On 111, which would be January 11th, 2011, George, have a mass consciousness, and basically people just think of kind and good things on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then also on November, which is 11/11/2011, also the same thing, George, if you could just have people just take a minute or two and just think of good things, you know, on the earth. Something told me to tell you this. I've been trying to call you for like the last year, and this is the first time I got in. Barbara.
Yeah.
My question to you is, do you believe in there's a civilization under the earth?
No.
Okay. All
I've
right.
Thought about it.
I've thought about it a lot.
You know, and I think that probably that's really a metaphor for the second dimension.
Okay.
My second dimension, because my second dimension is very alive and very complicated and very influential.
Right. Now, I was wondering if maybe the last time that this went awry, people went in, you know, the caves and stuff and never came out.
And I
had a question about the Pleiades and if they thought of anything about the people under the earth, but obviously you don't believe in that.
No,
so.
I don't. Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Barbara. And, Georgie, if you can do the mass consciousness thing, I'd really appreciate that.
I just don't want to create another problem. That's what I've been wrestling with, William.
Well, something told me everyone talks about, like, these birth pains. This will be like a spinal tap.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Got that right.
All right, brother, we'll keep on the good fight. And, Barbara, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Off to Honolulu we go. Solomon is west of the Rockies. Hey, Solomon, how are you?
Hi. I just wanted to ask her if she had ever thought of that, if Jesus Christ was possibly a cosmic connection.
That's interesting.
Yeah, in a human form, cosmic connection in the human form.
Yeah, that's a personal belief of mine, and it gets really interesting since I'm also, I have a master's in theology, and I've delved into this stuff pretty deeply. And there's a lot of evidence that Christ had the ability to appear all over the planet and not in Jerusalem. For example, a lot of Islamic and Muslim people believe that Jesus was actually not crucified and then ended up being in the Middle East. And so one of the things that I like to look at is to think of Christ as being, and Jesus as being, a much more universal being than Christianity would sort of try to pigeonhole him. And then when we get into the level of a universal being, we are getting into a cosmic being.
Before we go back to final calls, you've got to tell me about your work with Michael Stearns.
Mm, yeah, that
the
was
the composer.
Right. You it sounds like you know Michael's work. And Michael,
yes,
really is kind of the Beethoven of our age. And so I was just lucky enough to make a connection with him. I was even afraid to even speak to him. He's such an amazing artist, you know. And it turns out that Michael finally said to me, he said, your Pleiadian agenda describes in writing the way I do music. So I said, well, okay, I agree with you on that. So then we collaborated to create music for the Nine Dimensions, and it's called Journey Through Nine Dimensions, and it's an absolutely incredible composition. And, of course, Michael normally would be way, way too expensive for us to afford, but Michael also has his own version of that, which is our version goes through nine dimensions, consecutively. But he also has his own CD called Within, which is based on the nine-dimensional theory. So it's beautiful work, beautiful music.
Next up, Salem, Oregon we go, and it's Mike's turn on Coast to Coast. Mike, you're on.
Hi, Mike.
Mike's here. Hi, Barbara.
Yeah.
Hi. And George, hi. I had an amazing thing happen when I heard Barbara mention or state that October 28th, 2011 was the date of something that's going to happen. And I had confirmation of that because I was shown the date of October 27th, the day before your date. And I was shown that as the rapture of the church. Now, somebody that knows her theology, you know exactly what that is. And to have a date of it was amazing to me. But one of the confirmations I had was in studying Daniel, I saw that the handwriting on the wall was actually the date 2011. It was written, of course, from right to left, meaning, I think, Tekel Parson, but they stand for the digit 0211. And then I saw that the Chile earthquake in February was exactly 20 months to the rapture. I also understand that the day after is a time when a great force, as you had explained, would hit the earth and consciousness would greatly expand for all those who remain. Can you have a comment on that?
I have a lot of problems with the idea of the rapture in the sense of it being an exclusive lifting of a certain number of people, in this case 144,000 people. I just don't look at it that way. I can respect how someone else would look at it that way. I just don't look at it that way at all.
Why not?
I just don't.
Never did?
Never did. And you have your perspective, which I completely respect.
And we respect yours, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah.
We'll take final calls as we wrap this up. This night's gone by very fast, huh?
Yeah.
So as we approach the date, are we going to see some signs, or are we seeing them now?
George, I'm so glad you went to that, because I was about to break right through to that. I want to make a comment about what I'm doing on handcloud2012.com, because first of all, it's all free, and I'm not trying to sell anything. I just want people to go for it, because what I do on that website is I combine the time acceleration theory and all these ideas about 2010, 2011, and 2012. I combine them with astrology, not for prediction, but to show the quality of the change. Now, we're in the middle of such an incredibly fast exponential level of change, that anything we can do to decipher the qualities of that change and the parts of it and how it's affecting us. And so I've quit writing books. I've quit doing almost everything else, and I'm putting it all into HandCloud 2012 in order to decipher that issue. So for me, it's a continually shifting poem. It's like a long sonnet that's playing itself out. And the way that the stars and the cosmos and the planets are orchestrating this is just absolutely stunning.
All right, grab a quick one. Teresa, New York, about a minute. Teresa, go ahead.
Okay, I'm on now?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I just wanted to make a comment about higher consciousness.
All right.
I've been dealing with the medical system in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that I'm seeing the opposite, even though I've spent my whole life, until I experienced the medical system, I would agree that I see the human race moving towards higher consciousness.
Well, it sounds like you're getting the short end of the stick in the medical community. Let's save that for another time. Barbara, we are running out of time.
Okay.
Give out your website one more time, would you please?
Yeah, handclow2012.com.
Simple enough. The name of the book, the one we're talking about tonight, is Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, the 2012-2011 Prophecies. Barbara, good luck and keep in touch.
Thank you, George.
All right. And, you know, I've always believed that similar things could happen around this time period as well. Remember, I've always said we're in for one heck of a roller coaster ride, and Barbara would agree with that. And at the end, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.